Okay. Hi Scott, welcome. How are you? You're muted. All right. Hi. All right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to share a PowerPoint presentation. I'm assuming you guys can see
Yes,
that.
I can see that's in presentation. That's not in presentation mode.
Okay. Ian Pedley. It's actually being presented, so I've shared the wrong screen. You can tell I'm a master at this. Hi, Ian. Cheers.
You're all good.
Screen. I want this one. Screen two. All right. Is that just the presentation?
Yeah, that's it, the first
Sweet.
page.
All right. So I decided it was time to take stock of where we're at or where I'm at with working with you guys. And I've got you guys front and center, spending planners at the top in the middle. And I've been busily working away on some things that are kind of getting to a point where those things are almost done. And I thought, okay, it's time to take stock. So if I do that, we're back where we were before. So the Spending Planners Institute website has been around for a long time. The spending planning website started growing a couple of years ago. The kids and money website has basically is still, it's almost there. We'll have a look at it in a moment. I've actually created a webinar for you guys to use just as a generic one to modify to suit yourself, just as an idea, because I think kids and money's got lots of legs. We've got heaps of resources in the Resources Center. We've got Facebook pages for spending planning, Simply Budgets, which is like way back in the past, the Spending Planners Institute, and there's a Succeed with Money one that sort of Carolyn and I started when we were doing the podcast two years ago, I guess it was. And I've created a Facebook group for kids and money. I think we've got a Facebook group with the Succeed with Money as well. So we've got and I know Kathy has also, there's an Instagram and there's a Twitter and there's a few other social media things. So lots of those kind of things. On the product side of things, I've got the ebook Kids and Money, which isn't complete, but it's well and truly, it's almost to the point where you'd say, well, you could sell that or give it away. We've got the software, the subscription that you guys sign people up. You guys have potentially got your own custom products that you've created from do-it-yourself courses to full-blown spending planning coaching, which I've put at the bottom. So there are other products potentially there that you guys know about and have, but they're the ones that I've basically got there. So then over on the right-hand side, I've gone, okay, what are the outcomes? What are the goals that we're trying to achieve as a group? And I've sort of started at the top with the easier ones, and it gets darker as we go down. So to start off with, need people to know us, know about us. So we need the know, like, and trust. So the followers is somebody knows about us. Subscribers is somebody kind of likes us, and the trust is when they get to actually spend money with us. And I've basically gone on a one-time $10 purchase, a monthly $10 purchase. And whatever you guys want to charge them for coaching at whatever level you want to offer that. So products and outcome goals are closely related, but I realized that you don't get to sell products until you get followers and subscribers and build a relationship. So I put those outcomes there. Strategies. Social media is probably where most of us have thought about starting. Free call offer, actually, that's probably not in the right place as far as a hierarchy goes, but you'll have to forgive me for that. I might fix that for tonight's one. Webinars, paid advertising, networking, referrals, one-on-one calls. And there's heaps of strategies that I haven't got there, but I've just put a few there just to sort of get things moving. If you think about our outcome goals, we need to get followers, and I think a lot of us would start with social media and networking, friends and family, you know, anywhere at all that we can get people to know about what we do. Ideally, in a modern type of business, you want to have people to be able to follow you and do all of the things that you want them to do without you actually having to be there. So social media probably is where most of us would start, but I know there are people who have totally gone down the face-to-face route and gone networking and built their reputations from just getting out around town and getting to know everybody. And then, of course, following from the networking comes the referrals. And one-on-one calls is something that I will talk about when we start talking about kids and money, but I see that as part of a, when you've got a follower who becomes a subscriber who then starts to get interested in what you've got on offer, at some point in time to develop the relationship, you want to get to offer them. For example, if you get them to sign up for a software subscription using, I'll bring in the last one, the affiliate link, which is the price ascension model that we've been talking about for a little while now since the start of the year. So if you put your affiliate link out there and somebody signs on that, clicks on that and signs up for the software subscription, your next move would be to contact that person and go, "Hi, I'm the person who's the spending planner behind what you've subscribed for." And, you know, some people take a little while to get started. Other people just hit the ground running. I'd like to make sure that you're one of those that gets off to a good start. If you're happy to have a 15 or 20 minute call with me, I'd be happy to offer you a one-on-one call. No charge, just want to make sure that you get up and running, you know, off on the right foot. That's a strategy to get someone to not only know you, but also to like you and to trust you. And at which point in time it gives you the opportunity, and in the strategy there, maybe I should have the upsell from a one-on-one call to a coaching client. And I've also got there, each one of you certified spending planners probably by now have built some tools of your own. If not, there are plenty in the resources set up. So that's kind of, I'm just building up this overarching picture. And yesterday I did that on paper and I started drawing arrows from boxes to squares to circles to things just to say, well, okay, how do we get these things to happen? So I'll leave that for the moment and I'll come back to it. Kim, you finished lunch? Cool. We'll come back and I just want to talk to you about our product, the spending planning software. So I'll stop that share. And maybe I need to bring in this whiteboard. Now, I've just installed this tool. I'm not sure how I actually make it so you guys can see it. Can you see a whiteboard there?
Mm-hmm.
No? Okay, let me see if I have to do a screen share on that. Share screen, whiteboard. There we go. So now we've got a whiteboard. Yes?
Yes.
All right. So I've been talking to Nick about software and where we go next, and he's still committed and keen to keep things moving forward. In fact, he said to me the other day that he's got two other clients that he's basically telling them to, it's all done, and he wants to just still be able to focus on this full time, which is where he was probably a year and a half to 2 years ago. But the income, when the COVID hit, the income growth just stopped and it's not generating enough income for us to be able to commit enough time as we'd like to. So it's one of those business challenges where you're sort of, you know, doing the best you can with what you've got and hopefully grows to a point where you can do more. So anyway, so from a software point of view, the one thing that keeps coming up is people say to me, oh, we really need an app. And I then point out that we don't need an app, because when you say the word app, what you're actually saying is something that people can download from either Google Play or from Apple iTunes. And that is something that is a totally different thing to what people are thinking when they say we need an app. So to get on Apple iTunes or on Google Play Store, you have to basically fit within all of their criteria. You've got to submit everything to them for their scrutiny. You cannot have anything with an upsell or a, like there's all of these rules and regulations, and it's very much not where you want to go. So when someone says to me, do you want an app? What they really mean is we want a mobile version of the application that we currently have. I.e., I go on my phone and I look at it and it fits on the screen and it works within the boundaries of the available space. Now, at this very moment, I'm about 20 or 30 minutes away from republishing a video that I put up on our Facebook forum for the Spending Planners a couple of weeks ago, which showed how to use Spending Planner on an Android, on a phone, but it was basically, it didn't have an iPhone. So I've now added iPhone to that and made it much better, and that will be going live, and you guys will know about it. You'll see it on the forum as soon as it's live. So that's something that you can share with every one of your clients, whether they're currently a coaching client or previous coaching clients who you would like to make sure that they don't lose interest because they can't play with it on their phone. So that's the first step in on the journey of making sure that we don't lose people because we're not appy, shall we say. So I will, you'll know about that as soon as it happens. Now, did that just come across the screen with a rectangle there?
No, just an arrow left and right.
Okay. That might be one I did before. Let's start a new one. So I want...
So, David, where is the? Where can you download it or what can you do on your mobile?
Well, there's a video that I've done. I'm redoing it. And it will, I was so close to having it finished the other night, but I just had to go and do some other things and I never got back to it. And then yesterday I spent half the day with Kathy and the other half the day with family. I didn't get home till midnight, and then I was gone at 6 o'clock this morning. And then I got back in time to sort of prepare for this. So I can get back to the other part of what it, the creating that video after this is all done. Maybe it's sort of 11 o'clock tonight. We'll see. But it's just about ready to go. And I've basically, what I've done is I've basically gone Android, iPhone, and I've shown how to zoom the browser on either of those devices. So at about between 65 and 75%, you can see the entire software on the screen, and it's very much usable in its current format. So yeah, there really shouldn't be any problems with that, but so that will be available. However, where I wanted to go, what I wanted to do is to get some input from you guys is that, okay, if we were having this conversation about, all right, we need something that's more mobile phone friendly. So far, most of the people I've had the conversation with have said to me, it doesn't need to be complicated. We just need a screen so when people are out and about at the shops or whatever, that they can look at their phone, go on the Spending Planner and get some valuable information. So I want to know from you guys, if you've had thoughts about this, what you would like to see. Because I've got one person's input quite firmly in my mind, but I don't want to preempt what you might say by going there. So what are your thoughts?
My clients are more wanting to be able to process transactions when they're watching kids at school or something like that. That's why they were wanting the...
Right. So process transactions. They got some spare time when they're out and about, and they just want to go, oh, look, let's just update my plan. Okay, so I'm assuming that's what's going to happen. If you process transactions, you're going to update your plan, aren't you? All right, well, that's not what I have been has been suggested to me so far, so that's cool. What All right. Well, it doesn't sound like any of you guys, apart from Kim, have got a lot of thoughts around this. So I'm going to assume
Scott, that... just put some comments in. When I've been asked about it, it's been about at the beginning they ask for an app, but they don't realise that what's in their bank account is what they can spend. So they just need to then go onto their bank account to see what they can spend rather than it being an actionable app, you know, an actionable something.
Right. So there's...
Because it doesn't do auto feeds and things like that, which is fine.
Yeah.
But would that be, you know, what's in your bank account now doesn't mean that's, you know, if you go, you haven't got that amount to spend.
Well, it does if you're spending out of your triple FI.
Oh, I need triple FI. Yeah.
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 Or a savings account.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I don't know that we even want to go there. Although there certainly would be a case that said, how cool would it be if beside your target it actually showed you your real-time bank balance? In fact, you could put forward a pretty good argument that said that would make it really cool. But it currently doesn't do that.
Mm.
So seeing how you guys are a little... There's not a lot of, you obviously haven't really, don't see this as a huge problem or else you'd be screaming at me, we want this and this and this and this and this.
No, it's more how easy is it to use on the platform by going into, because I don't use it on my phone, but the next generation do. A lot of them don't have computers.
Yeah.
So logging into it via a tab on Google or Firefox or whatever, or Chrome, is not what they want to do. They do want to just go onto a tile that links them straight to it.
Okay, so they it's called a tile, is it, or an icon or
an icon or a tile? Yeah, that's my understanding of what they're, you know, logging in through. As I said, Chrome or Firefox is not what the next generation are looking for.
And I actually think that's possible right now because I'm pretty sure I've got a favicon, I think it's called, F-A-V-I-C-O-N, on my phone, which takes me straight to it. So I think that's called a F-A. Anyway, well, I can suss that out.
Is that what you were sort of thinking, Kim? Then they can just process all of their transactions and...
Well...
Yeah, well, they don't care how... Well, they're saying an app. Just to make it something on their phone, yes, because they're out. They're never home. They're always out with kids at sport all over the place and they don't have time to do their processing and check in while they're doing all those other extracurricular things. At least this way, while they're waiting for the kids, they can move the plan forward and have it up.
It's the busy modern lifestyle that everybody seems to have been drawn into, like pressure. I want to do this, but when I get home, I've got other stuff to do and I'm plagued, I want to go to bed, whatever. Yeah, so so just a simple, easy way to get into it, and we'll look at that. I'm pretty sure that's got legs. The one thing that I've had people say to me over and over again that you guys haven't said is the scenario where you're out at the shops, probably with the kids in tow on the weekend, and you know, whether it's shopping for shoes or clothes or wherever, it's like, okay, I want to know whether if I how much I can spend. Can I afford to buy these shoes? What does my plan say right now before I jump in and make this purchase or make this transaction? So it was basically put to me that really all I want to be able to see on my screen is, and if you think about the dashboard on the spending planner at the moment, because my comeback was, but haven't we already got what you're asking for? Because they said, well, I want to be able to see the accounts. I want to be able to see what my target balance is right now. And I want to be able to see a little bit into the future just to see what's coming up so I can see if I've got to do a bit of juggling or whatever. But minimal information. There's too much information on the dashboard at the moment. And want it to be simpler so that I can just go, hey, Bill's account, target for today is $800. And yeah, that would be good if the actual was there beside it, but, you know, the phone app, the banking app's not too far away. So, and just maybe, it wasn't really put to me whether it would be a graphical or whether it would be just a list of transactions coming up. But really minimal information, but just the basics of what's needed right now. So does that strike a chord with any of you guys?
Yeah.
That's then saying that they have more money in their bills account than what they need at that time.
Say that again, Trish?
Are you saying then that they would be able to see that they're $200 ahead in their bills account? And they can go, oh, let's spend that because I don't actually need that. See, I keep my bills account to my bare minimum and everything else is in a savings or an offside, you know, account.
Yeah, with my clients, I don't leave. You and I can manage ours like that, but they can't. So no. I tend to leave a bit more of a buffer because, for example, I've got a couple that are off with COVID this week. That must pay. So I can't have them down to the minimum or else they've got to be sucking out of.
Yep.
Yeah, but the minimum I'm meaning is my minimum for my bills, knowing that everything's coming in and income and everything is covered and anything extra sits in another savings account.
So then you'd take the shoes out of the savings account.
Correct.
Yep. Yeah. In which case, if there's money in that account, you can probably buy the shoes. Yeah. If you've set it up that you've got a couple of buckets for emergencies and
Okay. So it's just depending on how they use it.
All right.
And how paycheck to paycheck they are.
Yeah. Okay. So anything else? I mean, I wanted to just get a feel, and actually, I've got some ideas here from you. Is there anything else that you want me to sort of thrash around with Nick on regards to the software, even if it's not to do with mobile usage?
Can you ask him when the like a loan account, when you're looking into the future, you can see that the interest that you're likely to be generating that month is $2,000. When you process your
yes.
Still not changing the balance to include the interest. And that's one of the biggest bugbears.
This is accumulated interest.
Yes. So your loan payment's 2,000, your interest is 1,000.
It goes down to zero as the month gets used up.
Yeah. Well, it'll take off the 2,000, but then the interest gets added on in their real bank, but not in the plan. It doesn't add the interest back in.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're talking about, and it's something that I think work has started on it, but it's just got put to one side. So we'll get on to that. Hi, Sherry, how are you?
Good.
How did you
go?
It went well. That was my first money, kids and money one that someone showed up to.
One person.
All you need is one.
Yeah, but hey, the one person's going to go and do my course. And then I still have, remember those pocket towels that I bought off you? Yep. So he's probably going to buy one of those as well. So
still got a few of them somewhere. So
Yeah. I have a whole bucket here full of them. And so whenever I do, workshops, face-to-face things, I'll use them as a...
you know what? We should have a review that. If we're doing kids and money, that's something...
Yes. Well, I've actually redone it just because I've digitally redone it. I have my own...
Yes.
That's a checkbook.
yes.
Where you don't use checkbooks anymore.
You know, we need a digital version, but yes, you're right.
What was that one? Yeah. I don't know that one.
I got one. The plastic wallet with a kid's pocket money management system in it.
Yeah, let's see if I can just grab mine.
And the kids
a physical thing.
Kids would negotiate with their pet. Yes, it was very much a physical thing. They'd negotiate the jobs and pay rates, and they could take out an income protection policy with mum and dad. And I basically suggested in the parent's guide that you could teach your child to be an investor by saying to them, look, if you put your pocket money. If I don't, like, if it's whatever, for $20, I'll sell you the dishwasher. You got to buy that out of your pocket money. And then once you own the dishwasher, every time it gets used, you'll earn 5 cents.
Yeah.
And you don't have to do anything for that. So because you've bought the asset, so now you've got an income-producing asset.
Yeah, it's such a great – and like credit card, it has a little credit card, which, you know. But the positive thing with that is you can only lend them a month's salary. So if you usually pay them on their age, so if they're 5 years old, the most they can ever borrow from you is $20. Yeah. So that they paid off very quickly. At the same time, you're telling them you don't need a credit card to save for it. But yeah, it's pretty cool. It has a parent's guide. You know, you do your job chart and savings. So it teaches them tax. It's so good.
It's very much based on it, on some out of date kind of things, yeah. Though. So it does. It needs to be updated. Yep.
It does. Yeah.
So, Sherry, what we were doing before you jumped on was looking, the questions come up. A lot of people say to me, oh, wouldn't it be great if we had an app? And I said, no, we're not having an app, but we're looking towards making it more mobile friendly. I've done the iPhone version of that video and I've totally rejigged the video. So it's about 20 minutes away from being finished, and I'll upload it and everybody, you all see it once I've redone it. Which goes a long way. I mean, at 65 to 75% on a phone size screen, spending planner is absolutely fine. But I've had people say to me, oh, you know, we need an app. And I'm going, no, we just need a mobile friendly screen size. But then, okay, what information do we take away? So where we're at, I've had a conversation with Nick and we talked about the home screen or another screen only having a small amount of information so that it will easily fit on a phone screen. And I was basically asking people, what would you want on that screen? What? Because what's been put to me is mum's out shopping, maybe with kids in tow, seen some shoes or a handbag or whatever, and she goes, oh, I want to buy this thing, but before I just go and buy it, I like to check on my spending plan to make sure it's okay. So what information do they need? So basically what was put to me, basically the name of the account, what's my target for today, and what's coming up in a short, maybe in the next 30 days.
Yeah. And also to see, yeah, if they're out shopping for something that's in their plan, of course, they'll see the transaction list of what they planned for that area.
Well, this is what I'm trying to get to, because what this person or what's been basically said to me over and over again is we want less information. We want just basics so that we're out and about. We can look at it quickly. Bill's account, $800 is my target for today. And in the next week, I've got these transactions coming up, whether that's a graph or whether it's a list of I don't know, but... And so I wanted to just get input from you guys today as to what you would like to see if we go down this, well, when we go down this path. So what? Let me see if I can use this tool here.
Yeah, I mean, I personally would think, you know, especially if they're out shopping for little Johnny's birthday, how much did I plan for this?
Yeah.
Teach them to... You know, because they have to transfer. They don't carry that card. They don't carry their debit card around. They have to transfer to their FFFI card, but they need to know how much they're going to transfer. So they need to be able to look in their plan and see how much they plan to spend.
Okay. So what was allocated?
Yeah.
To a certain transaction or an expense more than likely.
Yeah. And that's mainly just for the bills account.
Yeah. For example, birthday.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. All right. Well, I'm happy to move on unless there's some other ideas on there. Okay. So that all got recorded. It's all been recorded. So I will close that. Oh, there we are, all are. All right. So what I'm going to do, I had a call from a guy yesterday who we interviewed. He's interviewed me and I've interviewed him on a podcast. He's an older guy who's been very successful in business and now he does business coaching. And I don't know whether he owns this a group called Business, 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 or whether he's a member of it or he has access to it, but there's about 33,000 members in this group. You're nodding, Tricia. Do you know of that group?
Yeah.
All right, so he probably didn't found it, but anyway. And in the month of August, there's going to be on each weekday for 1 hour between 11 and 12 o'clock, different experts in their field. I'll use the word pitching or talking about their area of expertise to people, business owners from Business, Business, Business. And basically wants there to be some kind of an offer that goes with the information presented. And so I've been thinking, all right, well, I got lots of information, but I personally don't have much to sell. I'm not recruiting spending planners unless people come to me and ask, you know, can you train me to be a spending planner? Because we've got more than enough at the moment for what's happening. So I thought, well, really, I should be talking, if we're talking to small business owners, about managing their cash flow and getting a mentor, i.e. a spending planner, to help them with their personal, first of all, and then perhaps with their business as well. So I've got to do a little pitch so to get, because all of the members will vote on who they want to hear from and what topics they want to be lectured on, if that's the right word. But what I'm thinking of doing is creating a package where it will be spending planners, you guys, who I'm actually pitching to them. So I've got to work out how that could happen. But to me, that's probably the most logical thing that I would be offering if I was offering something. So,
is it Clive that you're talking to?
Yes, Clive.
Yeah,
so it's his group.
He's an admin on that group, yeah.
Okay, yeah. That may have some potential. We'll find out, but I just thought I'd mention that because I thought, that could be exciting if we can actually get some business people engaging with spending planners. That would be great. Mm. All right, I want to go back to screen share. I need to do screen share. And I need to share screen with, I think it's this one. All right, so I will go back. I've got a PowerPoint slide on another screen here, Sherry, which you haven't seen, but I will bring it back. But I had a list of all of our resources, products, goals, strategies, tools, and things. And it lists that we've got the Spending Planners Institute website. We've got the Spending Planning website. We've now got a Kids and Money website, which is sort of been taking shape over the last little while. Basically, what I've done with this site, I've basically given people, sorry, Sherry, the 18 topics.
Yeah, that's it. No, I in my course, I just put before the 18th, I just put a bonus one. So it's still 17. One's just called a bonus.
I mean, 18 by 18 doesn't sound bad. 17.
Yeah, no.
Anyway, so yeah, I apologize for adding one after initially.
No, that's it.
So I've basically said, you know, it's not just for kids, basically, because I'm not sure if you're aware, but Barefoot Investor, Scott Pape, he's publicly said a couple of years ago that he was going to shut down what he was doing and he wanted to go off and teach kids about money. And he was going to basically do it for free, his own expense. He was going to go into schools and teach kids about money. No one does something for free unless there's an ulterior motive. I'm sure of that. However, about 12 months ago, there was a petition thing that came through and he had, you know, signed Scott Pape's petition. And it basically said, get the banks out of schools. Let me get into schools and teach kids about money. And I'm thinking, the banks aren't in schools. What horrible things are the banks doing in schools? But anyway, so I thought, I actually disagree because I don't actually think that school teachers are the best ones to teach kids about money, even though there are things that parents don't know that maybe other people do know. My personal preference is, why not let the parents teach the kids about money, and in doing so, educate themselves? Because what I learned when I was a school teacher was that every time I had to teach something, before I could teach it, I had to know it. So when you teach, you learn. So I basically positioned this in such a way that, you know what, this isn't really, though it's kids and money, it's not just about kids. Because as adults, if we give you all of the resources to help you teach your kids about money, you are going to learn so much as you teach them. So I've positioned it as it's a win-win. So, and then I've gone, okay, so how do we get people in here? So I've got this book, and I'm going to stop this screen share. Given the time, I won't. I did a lot of research. Kim, you'd be aware of the headline analysis tool that you and Marlene and Carolyn use. So I mucked around for hours one day, and I came up with a headline, which is basically a title for something, that scored 88% on the actual headline itself and 89 on the search engine score. And I thought that was pretty good. It was about as high as I could get it.
It is good.
So kids and money, how to give your kids their best financial future. From an SEO point of view, that beats every other person out there on the whole planet who's trying to do teaching kids about money, including Dave Ramsey. So I think that's a pretty good title. And I feel comfortable with it. I know that last month I had Kids and Money, How to Teach Your Kids to Be a Money Guru. And I basically got told, but hang on a second, you've been actually throwing mud at money gurus in the past, saying that, you know, every year the money gurus come out and say this and they're all hopelessly wrong. So why would we want our kids to be money gurus? So I took that one on the chin and the nose and put it up on the forum. A few people had some suggestions, which I put into the headline analyzer and didn't do too badly, but this one has done a whole lot better. So the book that I've written, and I've now coming back to sort of fine-tuning it, proofreading it and making sure I'm happy with it before we put it out there, is Kids and Money, How to Give Your Kids Their Best Financial Future. And by the way, if I dropped off this bit at the front, it lost a whole lot of score on both the SEO and the headline. So just putting the word money apparently is an emotional word, and you've got to have at least two emotional words in your title, and you've got to have some action words. And so this was the best I could get it. So basically the whole idea of this website is to get people to go, yep, these guys are making sense. We do need to teach our kids, but we really want to know this stuff ourselves. How do we get to be an expert with money? Click here to find out more. Oh, why didn't that go live? I changed that yesterday, I thought. So I've gone Kids and Money Resources. Here's the book, Kids and Money, How to Give Your Kids Their Best Financial Future. Kathy knocked that up for me. It doesn't look too bad for probably a half an hour's work. And then if you read all about it, these are the resources we've currently got. And I've got the book for sale down from $19.95 to $9.95. And we'll throw in a free book, how to Teach Your Kids These 18 Money Topics. So it's like, that's the other part. One part is what to teach, and then there's the how to teach. So I figured I'll throw that into the bonus, because really what are we after?
Parents.
We want the parents. We want a relationship. We want people to know, like, and trust us, because ultimately we want to do a spending plan for the parents so they can teach the kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's the ulterior motive. So the whole reason I created Kids and Money was because you guys were telling me knocking on the front door wasn't working, because so many people go, yeah, we should do this, but, you know, talk to me after Christmas, talk to me after we've paid off the car, talk to me after we get out of debt or whatever. And it's all about fear of letting somebody else see, letting somebody else take control, letting somebody else, you know, open the lid to Pandora's box, and then you go, oh, you know what, I wish this person hadn't even started this job, because now I have to face up to my reality. How do I get them out? And so you guys have basically said to me, it's a hard sell, and yet everybody who buys the coaching, I should have done this years ago. This is great. This is amazing. So there's this chasm between what they know they should be doing and when they actually make the decision to do it. And so I'm thinking, where's the back door? And I came up with this. You've heard this from me before. So today I just basically wanted to show you that this, it's been a slow journey. I'm getting close to being ready to actually put this out there. So you guys could actually either sell the book yourself in your own right, or you could just send people using your affiliate link to this site. And there's more to be done on affiliate links, so don't get too concerned about, oh, how do I do that? Using an affiliate link, you could send people from your social media, from emails, from whatever you do out there in the real world, get them to here. And when they buy the book, I'd probably give you 50% of the 10 bucks. And I know that gets really exciting for you. But what you really want is the name, an email address, and telephone number, contact details, so that you've got someone that you can say, hey, I see you're interested in teaching your kids about money. And that's where we go to the, you know, can I offer you a one-on-one call like we talked about before? Or, you know what, I've got this webinar coming up next week, like Sherry had one today, where we're going to be talking about kids and money and looking in depth. So do you want to be on the call? You know, I've got a couple of free tickets left. So it's all, yes, Sherry?
Yeah, so like at the end of mine, because I do a webinar every week, and so I was able to say, hey, now next week we're going to, because I kind of mentioned the spending plan throughout the whole thing, don't go into any depth, but it's like, hey, if you're curious to learn more about a spending plan. And the young father that was there, he had a four-year-old daughter, and it made him, just from my experience, I don't know if you can see back there, but I have some chocolate money. So anytime my grandkids come, I've just started it. I teach them a money concept, quiz them, and then they get a chocolate coin. And he realized, wow, it's not that young. She's not too young to start teaching her. You know, she's 4 years old. And it's like, no, you can turn lots of lessons into that. But I'm also getting people, current clients, who are saying, hey, I have some sons that have intellectual, they're high functioning autism. Do you have something for them? And so I referred them to this. There's lots of different people that, even though this is for kids and money, they're going to think, wow, I need to know that too.
See, I think we want to claim this space.
Yeah.
Because even though it seems to be like we've taken a right angle turn from where we started 6 years ago, because we wanted to just basically sign people up for $1,000, let me, you know, coach you for 6 months kind of package. Everything has said to me, we need to, the strategy to get from A to B, what's the sandwich in the middle? And I see this as being the big sandwich in the middle of that journey.
Yeah. Can I ask a question? On the Facebook group, is it an open one where if they search it, the kids and money, they can actually get accepted in, or do you have to accept them in?
This question came up just in the last week. At the moment, they've got to be invited or...
So I can invite this person to that group?
The decision was I think we need to open it up. But by the same token, you can't just let idiots in and bots in and what have you. So I think it's going to have a few questions, but basically answer these questions you're in kind of thing.
Can just put it so that you have to approve, if they want to ask a question, that you need to approve it first.
Right. Well, see, be asking you guys to tell me, because I'm actually not that Facebook savvy, is probably the right word. So I'm going to be asking a lot of questions along this journey for that. But that sounds like a good idea to me.
Yeah. So it's a group you created as a Facebook group, not a Facebook page?
Well, yes, it's a group.
Good. Okay.
I'll go back to that slide in a minute. So we've got about kids and money, and I'll talk about how. I think there's a quick history of the whole thing, how it started, some testimonials from adults about how spending plans helped them. And then, hey, three chapters of this book for free. So I'm basically, you know, even if you don't want to pay 10 bucks, I still want to get your details. So that's there. And then we've got the blog. Now I'm doing videos on kids and money. I've got four done. I actually got three done. So, for example, if I click on this one here, teaching your kids about money, how to give your kids the best financial future, which is the title of the book. Then when we get down to the bottom, that blog, basically you can choose to read it or you can choose to listen to me talking it.
Hi, I'm David Wright, founder of The Spending.
So you know all about it. So all of those things will become available. They're all in the resources center right now. So if you go to Kids and Money Resources, the 18 topics are there. There's an email series. There's there's a whole bunch of stuff. In fact, we're going to need to create a page just for Kids and Money in here, I think.
David, are you right then if I, like, you've got your video there, if I read that as a video?
Yeah. Sherry, if you want, I can send you the script.
Yeah.
Mm.
Sherry's done it already.
Yeah. And even just what you have on here, if I had an extra page in my menu, kids, I could take some of this and put it in because, I mean, it's just stuff that's basically in the
resources center, Sherry. Is
that what you mean? No, just create like you have there on my website. I can create one, Kids and Money, and put some things there that will lead them to my course because I have it as a course and to lead them to my next webinar or things like that. Because everything you have here I see basically is stuff that's coming out of the course.
Yep. And yet there's so much information, you've got to keep it in some kind of an organized fashion.
Yeah,
so
it's
not information overload. It seems
like
that. So I'll just make a note here. So the scripts to those.
Yeah, I would be.
Well, they're all here because they're basically the blog is the script. I've basically gone, and that first one we've still in design, moving things around. But I want the video to be near the top so people see that they could, if they're a visual or an auditory or a, you know, whether they want to read it or whether they want to listen, it's there for them. All right. Resources, which is where we were before, and then connect is basically contact us and. Once again, I'm offering three chapters for free. So that website we've basically put together, and Kathy and I are not website designers or builders, but we're doing what we can until we can afford to pay someone who's better than us. So that's where that's at. So I'm going to stop that, and I'll go back to. This one. So before you came on, Sherry, I basically built up these are the resources we've got, the products that we've got, and some of you spending planners have got, like, I know you've got your own courses and things, but we've got Kids and Money, the software subscription, your own products, and we've got spending planning coaching. Basically, we've got three websites, and there's one more thing that I really want to sort of get your opinion on before we finish up today about one of these websites. I've actually created a PowerPoint webinar that you could use for Kids and Money just as a generic thing so you can change it.
And that's what I used today, and it flows beautifully.
Okay.
That's what I used in my webinar. It was
the one straight from the Resources Center.
Yeah, the one that I got last year. Yeah, it's really good.
Cool. Because I was thinking, I'll probably need to change that.
Oh, no, it's... You know, and with your experience, you just add in a few little things, but no, that flow was really
good. So that was the one where I talked about, you know, people want to have a good life and then it sort of, which all of my PowerPoint presentations kind of start that way, but then I tweaked it over to be about kids.
Yep. It was, and it basically ends with, I just showed them the 17 things. I just gave a brief, you know, hook about that one. And yeah, it worked really well.
You just made me realize I probably need to update that to have 18, even though I know you like it with 17.
Yes. Yeah. I think there were 18 on there for some reason.
Oh, maybe it's up. Maybe I've already updated it.
Yeah.
I don't know what I've done sometimes. And then over here on the right, we've got, you know, we want to get followers, we want to get subscribers, we want to, and I'm just sort of starting from the softer the color, the easier the task, getting followers, subscribers, making a one-time sale, maybe the book, getting them to sign up for the software, then offering them coaching, as opposed to starting with offering them coaching, big ticket item, big jump from zero to whatever, too hard. So, and then I've got some strategies listed here. So
that's great.
What I want to talk about is the spending planning website. So I'll stop this share and I'll go to that one. And that will be probably here. This one. So this is the one that 2 years ago I had Derek was building this website for me, and it was going to generate all these leads and it was going to be the best thing since sliced bread. Anyway, that all, I ran out of money and it all didn't happen the way it was supposed to. But our strategy was, we wanted to get people to say, I want a spending planner to call me. I have never had somebody click on the, actually I might be lying, I might have had one person click on this link, put in their details, requesting a free call from a spending.
Yeah, and I think his name was Adam, I can't think of his last name, but they're engaged to be married, and he went on the website, found it, and then whether you, yeah, anyway, I got...
Right, so now he's engaged to be married. Well, that's not going to help his finances, is it?
No, well, he didn't know that the whole thing is she wanted to become financially literate so that when they walked down the aisle, they were equal. It wasn't a parent-child relationship because he's very good with money, but his fiance wasn't, and he wanted her to, without him telling her she needs to do it. Right. So I'm the one.
Right. So this website was basically designed to generate people, and the way we thought it, okay, if they say, I want a free call, then you might remember we were going to sell leads because Derek was going to cost money, so we had to basically pay for his wages or whatever. So that was the idea. So all the way through this, you got request a free call, you know, everything's all about getting free calls. And Kathy and I were looking at everything yesterday when I did that big thing that you saw there a minute ago. And I said, only a fool keeps doing the same thing over and over and over, hoping for a different outcome. It's time we actually thought, well, this isn't working. Let's do something different. So the object of the website was to get someone to call up, and then you guys could talk to them and convince them that you were a good guy and that they should sign up to do your program. And I've decided it's not working. Let's do something different. So I, with my Simply Budgets website 100 years ago, I used to sell people Simply Budget software, and I know how to do that. I can't say that I, you know, without the help of the media, that I'm a raving success at it, but I've got all of the resources and I know how to do it. So the idea I'm thinking is, instead of trying to get people to put their hand up for a free call, I'm going to sell $10 software subscriptions, because that's obviously going to help me because it'll create income. But if I sell someone a software subscription, they are a potential spending planner client. So in a way, they're putting their hand up and saying, I want to change my life, but they're not requesting a free call, but they're saying, I'm interested in doing better by virtue of the fact that they signed up with me for $10 a month. And then I will have a lead, correct? That person basically becomes a lead. So I can then say, hey, spending planners, I've got a new person that's just signed up for $10 a month for the software. I need a spending planner to contact them and say, hey, Charlie, hey, Mary, I'm a spending planner, and, you know, I'd like to actually give you a little bit of my time to make sure that you get started on this software in the right direction and give you the opportunity to build a relationship with them. A very small shift in strategy, instead of trying to get people to ask for a phone call, sell them something. And I see this overcomes one of the biggest, well, there's so many fears that are holding people back. There's a lot of fear in requesting a free call, isn't there? Because what do you ask for? The moment you click on that button, give me your phone number, give me your name, give me your email address. Like, you know, like what happens if this person tries to spam me or scam me or whatever, whatever. So there's that fear straight away, as well as the fear of letting somebody into your world and let them see that you've messed up your life and your finances and everything's a mess. I want to do this in the privacy of my own home where nobody's looking and no one can see, and I can just dip my toe in the water and see if this might be the solution that I need, and nobody else needs to know about it. So it's a much easier sell. It's a much lower price. It's very simple. Am I making sense?
You
are. I still have concerns with that, though, because a lot of people will, they won't know how to navigate it, and they'll just let it fizzle out.
And this is why I'm saying every person that signs up for that $10 subscription, I'm going to offer out to you guys to make connection with them and offer them some support.
So you need to contact them within 24 hours
absolutely
of doing it. Yeah.
So currently the model is we've got this website here and we want people to come and read through the material and go, oh, I need a spending planner. I'm going to get one to call me for free. Have a little chat. Too confronting, too scary, too much fear, too hard. It's not working. So now I'm suggesting I'm going to take this website and turn it into a sales website for $10 software subscriptions. I think that's easier to do. And then when someone pays the $10, we go, okay, we've basically got someone who wants a free call.
With your $10 subscription, David, is it the whole program that you're giving them?
The software, yep. Access to the software.
And not the all the videos, Tricia. It wouldn't be all the training videos.
Well, I would probably throw some in, but you know,
some in, but not, yeah.
What I know is that when I was selling software, not many people actually read the user guide. Not everybody even installed the software on their computer. Because people will click on something and buy it, pay their $10, thinking, oh, this is the answer to my problem. Mm. I'm going to do this. But they don't. And they tomorrow morning, they maybe have even forgotten that they put their credit card in and spent $10, signed up for a subscription. So there will be people who will sign up for the $10, watch a couple of videos and go, yep, I'm all over this. I don't need any help. But there'll be people who don't get around to starting, don't know how to do it, who need help. And they're the ones that need help, and they're the ones we need to give help to. So it's like I'm saying with the price ascension model where, you know, you guys, I'm saying to you, here's your affiliate link, sell $10 subscriptions to the software and then upsell them. This is exactly the same thing, except I'm saying I will also use my affiliate link to try and get people to sign up, but I'm going to offer them out to you guys as coaching clients.
How are you going to manage that?
Say that again, Kim.
How are you going to manage who gets...
Well, probably the same way I would have managed it if somebody requested a free call. Hey, spending planners, I've got a potential client who wants them, and maybe put $5 on it. I don't.
So if 20 people put their hand up, planners,
we just take turns. That's a how question, and I'm happy to do the how, but first comes the idea. The what? What are we going to do? How are we going to do it comes next?
But we can do this on our own website too, yes, as well. We could have, you know, a button where they, and then it's our, the button that when it says the software, it's going to be our affiliate link. So they're going to go be directed and they're going to go, and yet it's going to come under us. We're going to have their information.
Yep. So right now you can use your affiliate link to get people to sign up off a Facebook post or a web page or an email or whatever. And all I'm saying is I'm going to actually join the army and I'm going to actually use this website. Unless you guys say violently, no, I don't think that's the right thing to do. I'm proposing that I will also turn this website into a selling software subscriptions website and then offer you guys, everybody that comes through, a client. And whether you basically put your hand up and say, yeah, I'll be in for that. And I'll have a list of people who want clients And as they come through, basically next, 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 number one, number two, number three, number four, and all right, back to number one, back to number two. Unless there's a better way of doing it, but that's what immediately comes to mind. So I'm throwing this on the table, and obviously there's more discussion and more thoughts and more input. Kim, you look like you're deep in thought there. So
what's crossed my mind is the planners who haven't had clients for a while.
Yeah.
I don't know. You at one point were going to offer refresher training.
Well, I've done that a number of times and probably will do it again, because there are people who I know need to go through a refresher training probably, or at least to show me that they would be able to look after a client before I gave them one. So
your professionalism needs to be upheld.
Yes. Yep. You know, that's all part of the equation. But I'm, at this point in time, I'm going, as an overarching strategy, I would like to, seeing as how one person maybe has requested a call, that website's not doing what we hoped it would do.
No.
Let's do something else with it. If I can get people to pay $10 for a subscription, like to sign up based on what I do with the site, then I'm basically going to go, all right, here's potential spending planning clients that I can, because when they buy, they don't really know who they're buying from. It's just a website called spendingplanning.com. And yes, there'll probably be my face and voice there, but my face and voice are over most of your websites, except Sherry, who's re-voiced most of the videos and things. So I possibly even make mention of the fact that there's an army of spending planners out there who could help if someone needed some help, and you know, bring that thought onto the table on that website.
Well, you may be able to, in their email that they receive, just mention that a spending planner will reach out, just so it's not out of left field, because they weren't signing up for a planner to talk to them. They were just there for the...
Correct, correct. Yeah. And this actually made me start thinking about one of the, when at the mini conference that we had at the start of the year, one of the questions that came up was, if you're going to use your affiliate link to sell $10 subscriptions, are these people going to be told that you're actually going to have access to their spending plan? And that's actually one of the challenges technologically that Nick and I are still wondering about and scratching our heads about. And I thought, well, actually, if we didn't actually put them, if you sell a subscription to somebody yourself, that's one thing. But if somebody just signs up off your affiliate link, they're not your client from a point of view of you seeing their information until they've decided to engage with you at a higher level, at which time we would then put them in as one of your clients rather than just a person who's got access to the spending planner software. So there's lots of little bits and pieces that are floating around in the air and in my head, and how it all fits together and the philosophy and all of that sort of stuff comes down the track. But I just wanted to present today this idea and see what you guys thought about it. It'll do two things. One is it'll help generate revenue if I can get people signed up. And the other thing is, potentially, you know, it leads to relationships for you guys with people who have said, by virtue of they signed up, that I want to change my financial world. So
yeah. And I think, Kim, you know, yeah, I mean, if there's a brand new spending planner who's not even got any personal clients, then yeah, that's not going to be someone you would send them to, because they don't even have, you know, it's going to be someone who's demonstrated that they've worked with clients before.
Absolutely.
And that they've been successful with their clients. Otherwise, yeah, it would put a bad name on the Institute. Yeah.
That's all I'm concerned about, that you, if people haven't been doing this for 2 or 3 years, you know, they may be quite rusty and may not be able to help them as well.
Which means I'm probably going to have to do another refresher course. I will offer any clients that I get, potential clients that I get, out to people who I know have already been, you know, processing, doing spending plans a lot. So
yeah.
We'll get the proof of the pudding first, and then we'll put the icing on the top.
Yep. No, it sounds good, David.
Just all right. Well, as always, I'm just plodding along here. And yeah, Rome wasn't built in the day. I'm probably slower than I could be at times, but slow and steady wins the race sometimes.
It does. Yep.
You just stick at it, keep plodding along.
Have you in your, I think in your second Kids and Money book, is that where you're putting examples of ways to teach?
It's the how, yeah. Because I didn't actually want to do that, but looks like I am.
Is the first book basically the documents that you had printed beforehand? Or have you split it?
If you've looked at it, you've seen it. Yeah, it's... And I actually split it up into 17 different emails, which you may have seen. And then I put it all back together because I thought, let's sell this as a book. So,
yeah.
But you can use it either way.
Yeah. Awesome. All righty. Thank you. Well, I need to get going, guys.
Yes, we probably all need to. So. Thank you for your presence and your patience.
Yeah.
All good.
Quarter? Good. Glad I'm